We're so glad you've stopped by. Welcome to Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's with your host, Kimber Stonehouse. Come indulge with us in the next hour as we explore a region of the world, its wine and spirits. We'll also talk about food, tours, and other amenities unique to this area. Sit back and enjoy. Now, here's Kimber Stonehouse.
Hi, and welcome back to Around the World in a Glass. Today, we're going to do the second part of our French section. Last week, you know, we started on the French and we found out that the government controls a lot of things. We did some Bordeaux and Burgundy, and I also gave you some tips on finding a few things that were maybe a little more affordable than those ones that I mentioned in the show last week that were really expensive. Well, what I promised this week was that we would continue the French wine, but we're going to go into some cool little boutique-y regions. I mean, maybe they're not boutique-y. If you've been really drinking wine for a long time, you're going to be like, oh, come on now, who doesn't know these regions? But when I first started into French wine especially, I think I mentioned last week too, that French wine was very difficult for me, kind of to wrap my brain around. So when, you know, you get into French wine at the beginning, you hear the big names and you think, wow, I can't afford that. Or perhaps you just don't quite like them. The Burgundies, as we mentioned, were kind of austere and maybe a little lean, and same with the Bordeaux. So where is the best place to enter when you want to start drinking some French wine? You don't want to break the bank, because nothing upsets me more as a consumer than to fork out my hard-earned cash and take it home and, wow, I can't even cook with this. It's so bad. You know, it doesn't happen often to me now, but it did when I first started really getting into wine. I mean, I was very frustrated a few times because, you know, every once in a while I bought the same bad bottle twice. So not only did I buy it once and waste my money, I turned around and remembered it, but not remembered why. And I bought it a second time. So I really started to pay attention to my labels after that when I liked or disliked something. And notes are good. I don't take a lot of notes, but I'm also in the industry, so I'm kind of with this kind of thing every day. But notes are always good to kind of track what you liked, what you didn't like. And if you can put down why, great. If you can't, hey, really love this. It went great with what I had last night, chicken parmesan or whatever. Those are the kind of notes that I took for myself. I didn't try to make it elaborate and complex. I just tried to make it something that I would remember why I like the wine. All right, so on to the French sections that maybe some people consider a little more boutique, a little off the beaten path. We're going to start with one of my favorite regions. Probably the first place that I really got introduced to French wine that was affordable or not, because trust me, there's the spendy ones there too. But the Rhone region. Absolutely love the wines from the Rhone region. It's kind of southern France if you look at your map. Like all Americans, my European geography might be a little rusty, but it's kind of the southern area. It's got two sections in the Rhone, the northern Rhone and the southern Rhone. Go figure. Well, you know, the Rhone is also a river. There you go. So you've got all of this going on. The northern Rhone, the grapes in the northern Rhone for red are going to be primarily Syrah. There's going to be a few other things, maybe, but it's going to be in really, really small doses in the northern Rhone. This is where some of your really, some of the more expensive wines are going to come from. The Côte Rôties are amazing. They are way out of my budget. So if you're looking for inexpensive wines, that's not it. It's really expensive. Côte Rôtie, C-O-T-E. And then the second word is R-O-T-I-E. They're amazing. Going to be 100% Syrah with up to 20% Viognier. And if you know your wine grapes, you're going to know that Viognier is a white grape. And hang on a minute, but this is a bottle of red wine. Well, a lot of times in Côte Rôtie, and if you're paying attention to some of the Australians, they do the same thing. They're going to add in a little bit of this white grape. The Viognier grape, if you've not been out and had some Viognier, the flavors of Viognier tend to be very floral. It's a very dry grape if it's done, depending on how it's done, but it's always going to be, at least my experience has been, that it's 95% of the time going to be bone dry. So that means, you know, kind of no sugar, but it will have some fruit. But the aromas on it are very floral. So you kind of get this really cool aromatics. Well, you mix that with, say, the Syrah, which is how they do it in Côte Rôtie, and you've got 80% to 20%. It's usually closer to 90-95% Syrah, and just enough of that Viognier to pop in there to get those aromatics. It's going to add a little roundness in the mouth, but the main place that you're going to really get that Viognier is with those floral aromas that are going to mix so well and just add a level of complexity to your Syrah. Remember the very first week in Wine 101, we talked about how your nose could smell up to 2,000 different aromas, and your palate actually gets about 5 different flavor profiles. So when you think about it, your nose is kind of doing all the work when you really love a glass of wine. And that's why they add that in. It just adds such a beautiful complexity to the Côte Rôties. Now, the Côte Rôties, like I mentioned, they're not inexpensive. It's just the northernmost region, and it definitely deserves a first shout out because it is one of their most it's not prolific. It's not easy to come by. Guigal, and we're going to mention Guigal a couple of times today, G-U-I-G-A-L-E, Guigal is a family-owned company, and they produce a ton of Rhone wine, and I've yet to have a bad bottle from Guigal. I've had some bottles that I thought were a little more expensive than they should have been, but you know what? Sometimes that's just wine in general, but I have never had a bad bottle of Guigal. They've always been a good bottle. So the Côte Rôtie that Guigal does, they also have some single vineyards that they do. And these are called affectionately from those of us in the industry are called the Lalas. And they are La Moline, La Turque. There's about 5 or 6 of them. We don't always get all of them here in this market of Phoenix. So if you're interested in the Lalas, they usually get fantastic Parker ratings. If you know who Robert Parker is, they usually get fantastic Parker ratings, 98, 99, 100. Out of his 100-point scale. They are amazing. But here's the caveat. Be willing to shell out about $450. You might find a smoking deal and find them for $375, but they are going to be expensive, the Lalas. And I'm told they're amazing, got to be honest. Haven't had the opportunity to try those. So that's going to be the Northern Rhone with Côte Rôtie. There's a couple of other regions of Northern Rhone I want to mention. There's two that produce only white wine. That's right, a Rhone region with only white wine. I have had some white wines from the Rhone that are Viognier based, but I have not had either one of these. Condru, which is only white Viognier, and Chateau Grillet. I have not had either one of those wines. They are, again, very expensive for a bottle of white wine from the Rhone region. So you're looking to spend probably ballpark $80 to $150 a bottle for Condru or Chateau Grillet. They better be amazing, but just because that's a lot of money for a bottle of white wine that doesn't say Burgundy on it, and that's just my personal opinion. So you may or may not agree with that. Viognier can be very good. I've had some amazing Viogniers, but not those two. There are also a couple of other regions I want to shout out real quick. The Saint-Joseph, going to be a rock star bottle of wine every time. Again, Syrah is the primary grape. It may have a little white mixed in, not often, but Saint Joseph is going to be awesome. They do grow some white grapes there. Other than the Syrah, you might find Marzon and Rouzon as two of the things that would be a bottle of white wine from the Rhone that says Saint Joseph on it. Hermitage, Crow's Hermitage, and Cornas. All of these are going to be amazing. The reds are all going to be Syrah based. There's going to be differences between the different ones. Crow's Hermitage to me is one of the best bangs for the buck you can get from the Northern Rhone. Like I said, Côte Rôtie, Condru, Chateau Grillet, even Saint Joseph is not always inexpensive. Crow's Hermitage, my French is not good, as I mentioned last week, but I want to also spell this for you so you can look for these, because these to me are just fantastic bang for your buck. Crozes-Hermitage, Hermitage. So Crow's Hermitage. They are just absolutely some of my favorites. They're going to be, let's see, you're going to get that hint of black pepper. At least I do when I smell that type of Syrah. I get the hint of black pepper on the aromatics. You're going to get some really great red fruits without being jammy. So it's not going to taste like something that you should spread on your toast. It's still going to taste like a glass of wine. It's going to have some really good roundness in the mouth and some complexity. Plenty of acidity to balance it out, but it won't be as lean or as austere as, say, a Burgundy or a Bordeaux like we talked about. It's just going to really kind of explode in your mouth, give you some really great red fruits and that little hints of pepper. Sometimes people get kind of a red meat kind of flavor. Some of the guys at the store even tell me they smell bacon. But I'll tell you what, sometimes I think they can smell bacon on everything. But so, you know, it's going to have a lot of complexity to the aroma. And that's kind of the Syrah grape, but it's also where it's grown, those different flavors. Remember the earthiness we talked about last week? That is going to come out again this week in all of these these wines, there's going to be some earthiness going on. That dirt floor or mushroomy, a lot of people describe it a lot of different ways. You're going to get some minerality. Sometimes that's a slatiness with whites. In reds, it just shows up a little different, kind of as a just another depth or another piece of the flavor profile. These wines go great with food. They're going to be aged in French oak. Australians do Shiraz, same grape, Shiraz, all the same grape. But the Australians do it really big and bold, almost to that jammy, overly fruity, knock you on your butt kind of wine. It's just huge. And that has its place. I love those wines. I got no gripes with the Aussies and their amazing wines. But the French are really laid back. They're very restrained. So these wines are going to be really fantastic with food. I think Syrah and grilled foods, barbecued foods, I love them. I love to just sit and drink Rhone wines just, you know, in the evening. Doesn't even have to have food. It's just fantastic. They're easy to drink. Crow's Hermitage, that's your best bet right there. They're going to be about probably $25 on the shelf. So maybe a little more than you usually spend. So if that's not quite where you want to be, then I've got some others that are coming up that are a little less expensive. And so you can start there. If you're not shy about spending $20-$25, Crow's Hermitage, if you haven't tried one. We definitely want you to try one of those because we think you're going to love them. Some of the Southern Rhone, let's pop over to Southern Rhone real quick because it's got some fantastic regions as well. And Southern Rhone, sometimes you'll just see it say, you know, Rhone Village, Côte de Rhone Village. Those are amazing wines. Those wines are going to cost you usually somewhere between $12 and $18 a bottle. They're just going to be amazing. So if you are interested in really finding a place to start your French wine education and you like red, those Côte de Rhone wines are fantastic. They're Southern Rhone. They're, I don't know, kind of declassified. They're just kind of like the general classification of Rhone wines. We've got Tavel, which we're going to talk about that when we talk about rosés later today. We've got Vacquiras, and I might be butchering that, so forgive me. It's a really complex spelling. V-A-C-Q-U-E-R or E-Y-R-A-S, something like that. They're amazing. Again, check them out. Probably going to run you closer to 30, maybe 35. I like those. Gigondas is another one. Gigondas is fantastic. And again, you can start with Guigal. Going to be a little more Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre. Sometimes they throw in another grape. But the Southern Rhone wines, where the Northern Rhones were all Syrah, that's the only red grape they grow there, the Southern Rhone are going to mix in a lot of Grenache and Mourvèdre. Well, Grenache and Mourvèdre bring two different levels to it. So you've got this great red blend, but Grenache brings you some red cherry. And because Syrah is not quite as big, sometimes you lose that peppery flavor on the back, on the aromatics and that hint of pepper in the mouth. Sometimes you lose that because it's not quite got so much Syrah. And Mourvèdre for me, everybody's a little different on their Mourvèdre, but for Mourvèdre for me brings kind of a roundness in the mouth, an earthiness, and just a neat level of mixing in with those two grapes. That's a huge blend style. We often call it in the industry GSM, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre. And you'll find those from Australia. You'll find those from the States. It is a very classic blend, and they are amazing. They go fantastic with foods. You could even pair them if you got one that was a little bolder or maybe moved into one of the Gigondas or the Vacquiras, something a little bit bigger. You could pair those with steak. You could pair those with almost anything, depending on which one you buy and where you stay. Because they do use French oak, remember that it's going to be a little lighter on the palate. It's going to be, I think they're a little more food friendly than some of the big GSMs, say, from Australia. If I'm buying a GSM from Australia, I'm going to make sure my meal is ready to go with it or my cheese board is totally up to that challenge. If I'm going to be buying a French one, I might go with things that are just a hint more elegant and a little more creamy because there's going to be a little more acidity to balance all that fruit from one that's in the Rhone. It's just a different style profile, and they both have their places. One of the big ones I want to mention, all right, so I've mentioned Northern and Southern Rhone and the flavor profile of those wines. Now I want to tell you a few brand names and a few places to look. I've mentioned Guigal a couple of times. They are one of the single family-owned brands still there. Many of those have been broken up into little ones. Chapoutier by Turlotto and Chapoutier. The Chapoutier wines are fantastic. And you can always recognize the Chapoutier wines because they have Braille on the label. And I meant to look it up before I came in today. I forgot. There is a connection with Chapoutier, the family of Chapoutier, and either blindness or the development of the Braille system. So in honor of that, they constantly, on all the Chapoutier French wines, they put on the Braille. On the label in the background is the actual Braille. Of course, I can't read that, and I'm thankful for that. I think it's very kind of it's very cool that they would take that extra and put that on their labels. Jaboulet. So let's see, Chapoutier. Let me spell that for you: Chapoutier. And Jaboulet, which has a interesting little inexpensive. I want to say it's like $15. Called Parallel 45. And Jaboulet is J-A-B-O-U-L-E-T, and it's called Parallel 45. You can usually find it at the grocery stores. When I used to work at World Market forever ago, they sold the Parallel 45, and that's Parallel 45 is telling you where the grapes are grown, which is the 45th latitude mark. So you know what? If you're looking for inexpensive, that's a great place to start, the Parallel 45. Chapoutier does a white and a red Rhone, and they are called Belarouche, B-E-L-L-E-R-U-C-H-E, Belarouche. And they are just little red and white blends, again, from the Rhone area, easily drinkable, and probably between, depending on where you're buying them, between $10 and $15 a bottle. They're just fabulous. Some of the grapes, we mentioned the red grapes. White grapes in the Rhone region are going to be a few more. We've got Grenache Blanc. They do some Marzon. They do maybe a little Rouzon. They do some Viognier. They kind of do a little bit of all of it. But the big one for them is going to be the Grenache Blanc. They also do Muscat. And we're going to save all discussions about Muscat for an episode coming up at some point in the future on dessert wines. Because that's where that belongs. And I don't want to not mention it because it's very important. But at the same time, we're going to save that for later. So we are going to come back here in a few minutes. I think we've about covered Rhone. Let me look here real quick. Oh, I forgot. When we come back, we are going to cover Châteauneuf-du-Pape. I cannot cover Rhone and not give you some tidbits on Châteauneuf-du-Pape. It is probably one of my favorites. I probably have said that several times today. But when we come back, we're going to cover Châteauneuf-du-Pape. We're going to cover the Loire Valley and the amazing whites of Sancerre. So we'll be back in a few minutes.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com. Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Could you use some more organization in your life? Sure, we all could. But where to start? In the home? At work? With yourself? The answer is very likely yes, yes, and yes. Tune in to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr. It's all about how to let go of the clutter in your life, from the personal issues to the physical spaces. Meryl and her guests will work on a different area to improve each week so you can take back control in your life. Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr airs live Fridays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's, with your host, Kimber Stonehouse. If you have a question for one of our upcoming programs, please send an email to aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com.
That's Around the World in a Glass at Hotmail.com. Now, back to our show.
All right. Well, welcome back. We are going to talk a little bit about Chateau Neuf du Pape. We were talking about Rhone, and I ran out of time because I absolutely love the Rhone wines. I asked one of my my manager, Mikey, before I left the store. I said, hey, give me your best thoughts on French wine that isn't Bordeaux or Burgundy. And he looked at me and says, well, Rhone. I said, well, I know that. I just was hoping for a little more. And he gave me a few suggestions, and we're going to get to those. But, you know, he loves the Rhone wines. In fact, I think with him being on the team and helping do more buying in the last 2 years, I think we've started to sell more Rhone. Part of that is I think our clientele is open to it, but I think it's also our passion behind it. We really like the Rhone wines. So, you know, people come in and ask for something different. Well, have you tried anything from Rhone? You know, it's affordable. It's a great place to start. And the wine's just good. And, you know, it's hard to argue with wines that are consistently just that good. All right, so I promised Chateau Neuf du Pape. And if you've ever gone into a wine shop and seen Chateau Neuf du Pape, it's probably had a price tag on it somewhere between $40 and $120 or more dollars a bottle. They range quite drastically in price, depending on the producer or several different things. Chateau Beaucastel recently got some great reviews sometime in the last 5 years or maybe more, and their prices have gone really expensive. Is it a fantastic bottle of wine? Absolutely. It is an amazing bottle of wine, but as I've said many times, I have a hard time shelling out my $110 for a bottle of Chateau Beaucastel, and it may have gone up since then. So I like to get the Chateau Neufs that are closer in that $50 price point, because then I can buy it for a special occasion and not feel like I've just committed a crime because I spent enough money to buy seven bottles of wine on one bottle. Because it's about quality for me, but it's also about making my money go as far as it can, because I have a very limited wine budget. And I like to make it go as far as it will go. So Chateau Neuf du Pape actually means new home of the Pope. So Chateau is house. Neuf is new. Pardon my very basic French again. And Pape, P-A-P-E, is referring to the Pope. Now, what is the new home of the Pope doing in the middle of southern France? Well, in, I believe it was sometime in the 1300s, it was quite some time ago, the French king, as they often did, the English king did it too, got angry at the Roman Pope. He probably was over a woman he wanted to divorce, and the Pope said no. Well, he is king, right? So he's going to set up his own papacy. I can make Pope. I am right here. I'm going to assign my own Pope right here in Avignon, France. Well, at that time, there was also the Roman Catholic Pope in Rome at, you know, the Vatican. And then so the French king sets up his Pope in Avignon, France. And you can look this up. It really is true. And at the same time, the church in Constantinople didn't recognize the Western Pope. They had their own Pope. So at that point in history, there was actually three different popes here in the world. Thank goodness we didn't have the internet, because had we had the internet at that time, no telling what would have happened between those three different countries. But the French king set up his own Pope in Avignon. And so that area surrounding Avignon became known as the new home of the Pope, Chateau Neuf du Pape, which is very cool. The wines from Chateau Neuf are amazing. They can have in them up to 13 different grapes. And they are going to include the three primary, are going to be your three big reds for this region, which were Grenache, Syrah, and Mourvèdre. There's some other random ones, some little ones. And you know what? It's whatever they think makes the blend taste great. We have a bottle of wine at the store by from a company called Clos de Cayou. And Cayou is spelled C-A-I-L-L-O-U, I believe. We have actually three bottles of wine, the red, the white, and the rosé. We really like Clos de Cayou. They're fantastic from the Rhone region. But they were in, had at one point been classified for their red as a Chateau Neuf du Pape. And when they redrew the line sometime in the last probably century, they were already part of Chateau Neuf du Pape, so they didn't need to worry about it. And so they didn't quite help in maybe the manner they should have. And they got kind of declassified right out of Chateau Neuf du Pape. So if you want to really find a great bottle of wine, go pick up the Côte de Rhone. It's going to cost you probably somewhere between $25 and $30 from Clos de Cayou, and you're kind of getting declassified Chateau Neuf du Pape, because they got drawn right out of that region. So that's a little bit about Chateau Neuf. They are going to be flavor-wise, they're going to be bold. They're going to be wonderful. They're going to stand up to your steak. They're going to go again with those great cheese platters. I just think they're amazing. I like them with grilled foods. To me, roan and grilled foods are just two of the things that go really well together. And by grilled foods, I mean grilled pork, grilled chicken. If you do steak, it's still going to be fantastic with steak. I don't eat beef, but it's going to be fantastic with that. They're big and round in the mouth. They're going to have lots of flavor. They're going to have all those aromatics we talked about earlier with the hints of black pepper and maybe a little bacon and some good cherry and some red fruits and just be something that kind of explodes into your mouth. They do age okay. They're not something I would keep on my shelf or in my cellar for, say, 10 years because the first thing that – when you age wines, the first thing that disappears is the fruit. So that's one of the reasons you love Chateauneuf. But if they're too young, I would certainly decant them through the Venturi aerator or in a nice glass decanter. I do a couple of tricks because I'm not fond of dishes. So, and I wash all of my dishes by hand, even my regular dishes for dinner. I don't put them in the dishwasher. I wash everything by hand. And all of my crystal. So I'm not fond of doing dishes. So when I, decant my wines, I tend to just pour if there's two glasses I need or if there's only one glass for me for dinner, then I pour that while I'm making dinner and let it sit there in the glass for about 20 minutes, and then it's usually good to go. So that's my trick to decanting. You can use a Venturi. You can use the little aerators that pop onto the top of the bottle. There's all kinds of ways you can aerate. So if you have questions about that, stop into the store or check it out at your local wine shop, depending on where you live. All right, we promised Loire, so we're going to move from Chateauneuf because I could talk about Chateauneuf and the Rhone wines apparently for an entire 2 or 3 days. So we are going to move on to Loire and Sancerre. Loire grows a bunch of grapes. Some of them are the main ones we're going to talk about today, are going to be Sauvignon Blanc, Cab Franc, and Chenin Blanc. The two whites are both amazing. They're some of my favorite whites to buy and drink in the summer. Sancerre is the Sauvignon Blanc that gets the appellation name. Now, there's Sauvignon Blanc grown elsewhere in Loire. It's just missing, in my opinion, it's just missing a little something. Sancerre runs probably $25 to $40 on the shelf, depending on which one you're buying. Two of my favorite Sancerre are going to be Château de Sancerre and Vacheron. Both of them are amazing. They're not exactly the same. The Vacheron is probably a little fuller bodied. I don't know. They're good. They're just good. What do I love about them? Well, if you're a fan or you're someone who drinks a lot of New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, they're not going to be nearly as grapefruity. To me, when I smell a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, I get grapefruit, and I can almost smell the acidity, although that's technically not possible. They make me salivate when I first start smelling them because they are so they smell so tart with the grapefruit and a little lime and lemon. Sometimes lemongrass comes through, a real grassiness comes through, especially on a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. What I get when I smell the same grape but grown in that very specific region of Sancerre, which is in the Loire Valley. So Sancerre is a smaller region of the Loire. And it'll say on the bottle, it'll say Sancerre. So this is back to some of those things like the Rhones. You got to know where they're coming from to know kind of what grapes. Same thing here. So it's going to say Sancerre. And that way you know that it is from this region of France in the Loire Valley. And the grape is going to be Sauvignon Blanc almost 100% of the time, maybe 100% of the time. Let's put it this way. I've not seen one that says Sancerre that doesn't have Sauvignon Blanc in the glass, in the bottle. They are going to have all of that minerality we talked about, you know, kind of like that licking a rock flavor, that minerality. It's going to have some of that grape fruitiness, but sometimes it comes across more as, for me, it comes across more as just straight citrus, lemon or lime. And it's not going to be quite so overwhelming. You're not going to, you know, smell it and immediately you start to salivate because it smells so tart because it's so much grapefruit. It's going to be a little more restrained than that. You're going to smell some of that slatiness and minerality. And then when you put it in your mouth, you're just going to have this explosion of flavor and no sweetness. So it's going to be crisp and acidic, but it's not going to be so tart that you felt like it might rival your latest recipe of dill pickles, you know, and I love pickles and I love all things pickled, but some things shouldn't be quite that tart for me. And Sancerre is just beautiful on the palate. So if you're going to drink some Sancerre, what do you pair that with? Well, again, if you picked some cream cheeses, you know, some of those double cream and triple cream things, say like from Brie, those are going to be fantastic with Sancerre. Chèvre, goat cheese, we often call it Chèvre, C-H-E-V-R-E, just your basic goat cheese, is an amazing pairing with Sancerre. It's kind of a classic pairing. And it's going to go very well together. The Taleggio cheese from Italy is going to go fantastic with Sancerre. Those are some of my favorites to pair. But you can also go with something a little bolder, like a heavy cheddar or something that has a lot of herbs in it would also go very well, because the Sancerre is going to stand up to that. I like it with salads. I like it with all of my seafood fare, especially if I've got something that I'm using a cream sauce with. Then it's going to really rock, because that acidity that's in the Sancerre, it's not overwhelming, but it's going to complement that cream sauce. So if I'm doing like a cheese ravioli with the tomato cream sauce, I think Sancerre, or even better, the Chenin Blanc that we're going to talk about in a minute, those are going to be good pairings. So it's kind of what you like to put together. I like for the weight to be the same when I talk about my pairings. I like for the food to be one weight and the wine to at least be kind of the same heaviness. So I remember we talked about body in the mouth of full body, like whole milk, or, you know, medium bodied, like 2%, and then skim milk would be your very light bodied. So those three. So when you think about your food, think about the same thing. Is this something that kind of explodes in the mouth and gives you really rich flavors? Or is this something that kind of, you know, like a spinach salad with tuna might be more medium to light bodied, and I would want a lighter wine. But cheese ravioli with a tomato cream sauce is going to be more full-bodied, so I'm going to want something that's got some richness to it, but plenty of acidity, so that it doesn't crash into that wine, or the food doesn't flatten my wine and my wine doesn't flatten the food. Sometimes that'll happen, but I think that, you know, a Sancerre with that kind of tomato cream sauce with the ravioli would be fantastic. I mentioned Vouvray. Well, actually, I mentioned Chenin Blanc, but if you know Chenin Blanc and you maybe know a little bit about French wine, you'll know that it's called Vouvray, V-O-U-V-R-A-Y. That is also from the Loire Valley. Vouvray comes in a couple of different styles, and several different ways it's done. It can be done dry, which is one of my favorite – I have to always qualify – one of my favorite ways of drinking Chenin Blanc or Vouvray is that bone dry kind, the kind that has the fruit at the front of your tongue. So it's not really sweet, but it's just really fruity. And then you've got this bracing acidity along the jaw and just this really lightness on the palate. So to me, they're medium to light-bodied, and they're wonderful in summer or, again, with some of those really interesting dishes that might have some cream, and it would match up with the same cheeses as the Sancerre. So it's just going to be really light on the palate, but not insipid. So it's going to be light but not insipid. So you're not like, oh, where's the wine? And then it's going to have a lovely, beautiful finish. And that would be Vouvray or Chenin Blanc. Remember, we talked last week that if you're finding things that say California on them and they have some of those names on them, like Chablis or Burgundy or even Chenin Blanc, it's not the same as the ones coming out of France. So if you're looking for a good Chenin Blanc, I would look for the word Vouvray, and then I would also look and verify that it comes from France. If it has Vouvray on it, you should be pretty safe. But when I'm shopping for something new, I like to always kind of double check that I'm actually getting what I'm trying to check on. Vouvrays are going to be inexpensive. They're $15. Maybe if you get an expensive one, it's going to be $20. And these are going to be the ones that are fruity but dry. So you're not going to get a lot of sugar, but you're going to get a lot of fruit. And I really like Vouvray. They're just fun and different, and sometimes you can find them on a wine list, and they're usually pretty good value on a wine list. So if they're on the wine list, say for $8 by the glass, you're getting a pretty good deal. So check those out for a Vouvray at a restaurant, and, you know, especially if you're a Pinot Grigio drinker and you're tired of drinking Pinot Grigio, a Vouvray is a really nice, easy step for you. A Riesling drinker that's tired of all the sweet and wants to move into something a little drier, again, a Vouvray is a nice place to go, because it's going to be a little drier but still plenty of fruit, which is kind of where you want to go. Do they do any reds in the Loire Valley? That's a great question, and absolutely they do. The main one we're going to talk about is Cab Franc, and it's going to come from a region called Chinon, C-H-I-N-O-N. It is definitely Cab Franc. It is going to be earthy and dirty and musty, and it is not for the faint-hearted. They are going to cost you probably $20, $25. They do a couple of other little reds. They do a little bit of everything kind of in the Loire Valley, but Chinon is going to be the one you're going to see the most often. We have a lot more to cover here, so if you have specific questions on French wine, I didn't cover the one, I'm not done yet, but if I didn't cover the one that you're looking for, then you know what? Drop me a note to aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. That's all smushed together, aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. And you know what? I will be happy to to elaborate further on the different grapes that are available in some of these regions, because it's a lot to take in and there's so much out there to try. So again, Vouvray, Sancerre, Chinon, those are some of my favorites right there. We didn't talk about it when we were talking about the Rhone. We're going to come back and talk toward the end, if I don't forget, about rosé. So it doesn't mean that they don't do rosés, but the Rhone region is one of your big best bang for your buck on rosés. Before I run out of time today, because I'm always running out of time at the end, I want to make sure that we start to get into the Alsace wines. So Alsace, in my opinion, kind of breaks all the rules. Well, I don't know. Maybe they just don't have any rules in Alsace. Alsace is northern France, kind of more northern-ish. It's kind of right next door to Germany. So they grow a lot of the same grapes as they grow in Germany. In fact, some of the names kind of sound a little German. Gewürztraminer, Riesling, Pinot Blanc. That doesn't sound so German. Moscato. There are others. Those are some of the highlights. The ones here available in Phoenix are the ones I'm going to focus on. But they also, some of the names kind of sound a little German, not quite so French. I mean, earlier we had Chapoutier and Jaboulet and Guigal. If you, you know, Chateau de Sancerre and Vacheron. So, you know, they sound French. The brands coming out of the Alsace region, Trimbach, Quenzbos, and Spar, S-P-A-R-R. There are many others, many, many others. There's, so many of them. But anyway, those are the ones we're going to focus on because those are the ones that are the most affordable. There are some that go off the deep end, and Trimbach has some single vineyard stuff that's, you know, $100 a bottle. So they're fantastic. But we're going to focus on these that are a little more affordable and talk about these. The neat thing about Alsace is that they tell you what's in the bottle on the label. They're one of the few French regions that does that consistently. Some of the others you'll have, like, you know, some random son who's gone off the deep end according to his parents and puts the label on there and says Pinot Noir and it's still a Burgundy. But you know what? That's just the random one. Alsace, almost all of them, let's put it this way, every bottle I've ever seen that was a single varietal tells me what's in that bottle. Quenzbos does one that says white blend or white on it, because it's got, you know, like four different grapes. But on the back of that label, it has the four different grapes that go into that bottle of wine. And so Alsace is one of those regions that does that and doesn't tell you, you know, just give you the hint of, oh, this is from Alsace. Now it's your job to figure out what's in it. The wines are going to be a little more detailed, and I quite like that. They're going to and you know what? And you're like, oh, no, Riesling. She's going to get back on that Riesling kick. Yeah, I am. And Gewürztraminer and Pinot Blanc. And we're here in Phoenix. It's hot, and these wines are going to go fantastic with nearly everything that we like to do here in Phoenix and to stay cool. So, oh, you know what? I forgot. I meant to mention that Chenin Blanc comes in a sparkling. That's right. When I was talking about Chenin Blanc and Sancerre and Vouvray earlier and that Loire region, I meant to mention that Chenin Blanc can come in a bubbles form, and it is absolutely amazing. You get all the great parts of that grape, the fruitiness, the balanced acidity, and then you add carbonation, and it is absolutely amazing, and it's only about $20-$25 on the shelf. So, I mean, you're not looking at breaking the bank like you can with some champagnes, and we are going to talk more about bubbles next week, but yes, that's what's coming up next week, champagne and all things that sparkle, because I love my bubbles, and I am not only with one brand or one style. I like champagne and Prosecco and the domestic ones that are here in the States, and I like Brocato da Aqui, and I like Moscato da Asti that has a hint of fizz. So I like fizz. So anyway, the Chenin Blanc from the Loire Valley will have that hint of fizz as well. You can get it when it's sparkling. It also comes, and I have never had it when it's been a good bottle. I've had one bottle that I opened that was not good, and it will come as, and it'll say demi-sec. So it'll say Vouvray, and then underneath Vouvray, it'll say demi-sec, D-E-M-I-S-E-C, and that means sweet. All right, we're going to go to break. I still have to cover all of that Alsace stuff when we come back and a few other little regions that are definitely worth trying out if you find them on your local shop on the shelves. And we have some at Sportsman's. So in the meantime, start looking for some French wine. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. news, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
When you look at something that's been designed, whether it's clothing, architecture, or a work of art, do you stop and wonder about the inspiration and thought process that went into the design? Tune in to Dishing the Dirt on Design with hosts Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schappa. We'll take the mystery out of the creation process, along with revealing the backstory from art to fashion to travel and so much more. Listen to Dishing the Dirt on Design every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Tune in every week for Sex Out Loud. Host Tristan Taramino will discuss everything from sexual pleasure to sexual politics. Get an insider's perspective from leaders in the adult film industry, the LGBT community, and the sex-positive world. From kink to non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. Plus, you can call in to join the conversation. Sex Out Loud airs every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
A divorce can break your heart, but it doesn't have to break the bank or ruin your life. Join Lori Grover for The Smart Divorce and discover the benefits divorce mediation offers over aggressive dueling attorneys. Lori and her guests will show you how you can make your divorce faster, healthier, and much less expensive. She'll also be sharing the ways she helps couples settle money and parenting issues fairly, and the pitfalls of using the legal system to wage financial and emotional war. The Smart Divorce airs live every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You are listening to Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's, with your host, Kimber Stonehouse. If you have a question for one of our upcoming programs, please send an email to aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. That's aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. Now, back to our show.
All right, right as we headed to break, I threw out like this random phrase and said, oh, yeah, let me tell you about demisec and vouvray. All right, so I want to back up just a little bit with that because you don't see many of them on the shelf. And the one I had should have been amazing, but it was a little past its prime, so to speak. So it was really terrible, to be quite honest. But a demisec, if it's from vouvray, so again, it'll say vouvray, and we all know that means it's going to be Chenin Blanc in the bottle because it's a bottle of white wine, and it says vouvray, and that means Chenin Blanc. And then it says underneath it, it'll say demisec. Now, most times when you see the word demisec, it's going to mean sweet, okay? But keep in mind that we're talking the French here, and the French understand balance. So what I love about it, because I like sweet wines, and like I said, one of these days we're going to spend an entire episode on sweet stuff because the sweet stuff is amazing. I'm pretty picky. I don't want it to taste like somebody dumped 2 cups of sugar in there or made the adult version of Kool-Aid with alcohol. That's not what I'm looking for. I am looking for something that's balanced. It'll go good with a cheese plate. It'll go fantastic perhaps with cheesecake. I have to tell you about a dessert wine I had over the weekend. But so when you're looking at your wines and you see the word demisec, the next thing I would look for if I was the one buying the wine, I'm going to look for a couple of things. If it's bubbles, and we'll talk about it a little bit this next week, I'm going to look and see if it's actually a French bottle that says the word demisec on it, because that to me is very important. If it's French and says demisec with bubbles, then I kind of know what to expect. If it is vouvray and says it's demisec, even though I've never had one that was at its prime, meaning that it wasn't too old, I know what to expect. It's going to have amazing fruitiness, amazing sweetness, but it is going to be so balanced along the sides of the jaw with this acidity that it doesn't become cloying. What I don't want is something, and some of the domestic ones are really well balanced. There's some fantastic wines coming out of California that would be classified as dessert or demisec style. They are amazing. But what you'll notice in the ones that are coming out of California like that is that they are so well balanced. They are balanced with all that acidity so that you don't feel like you're drinking syrup. I mean, I'm not wanting to drink the pancake syrup. That's not the idea. I want it to be much more balanced than that. So if you're getting a good bottle of Vouvray and it says Demi-Sec on it, I don't know what they'll cost. I'm guessing somewhere in that $35, $40 price range. But we haven't been able to get one at Sportsman's here in Phoenix in many years that was quality, because I would have bought it and opened it by now. But we haven't been able to get one that was quality. So if you're looking and you see the word Demi-Sec, don't be scared. As long as you like fruity and sweet, don't be scared. Just make sure it's from France or that you trust the producer. Alrighty, so that's your rough version of Chenin Blanc, Sancerre, Sauvignon Blanc, Chinon, which is Cab Franc. And now we're going to get into those Alsace wines. What I love about Alsace, absolutely love about Alsace, is they can be sweet, but usually they're going to be fairly dry. They're going to be good and fruity, and they're going to have amazing aromas. I can smell a bottle of Gewürztraminer or a glass of Gewürztraminer. Let's go with just a glass. I can smell a glass of Gewürztraminer almost 100% of the time, peg it as Gewürztraminer, because there is an aroma, and I think it's the lychee fruit that's in there, L-Y-C-H-E-E is the name of the fruit. I had it when I was in London. I think you can find them here, but I've not looked very hard. But there is an aroma that comes out of a glass of Gewürztraminer that just doesn't quite make me swoon, but it's kind of that, oh my gosh, this wine is amazing. Granted, I'm very disappointed when I put it in my mouth and it's a bit bitter, or it doesn't quite live up to its reputation, or this great smelled fantastic and I put it in my mouth and the taste falls flat. You know, it's kind of like, hey, where'd the wine go? But if it's a good bottle of Gewürztraminer, and Spar, S-P-A-R-R, is amazing. There's another one, done by Gewürz, Trimbach. They do an amazing Gewürztraminer as well. And I know we're talking about France, but there's one from Italy called Traumann that's really good too. It's the northern part of Italy, and it's really amazingly good. So there are several fantastic Gewürztraminers out there. And Gewürztraminer, what a word, right? You'll see it, and it's the big long word that begins with a G. Gewürztraminer. Sometimes I think there's a Z in there that I've forgotten about. I think it's Gewürz and then Traminer. These wines, they just smell like heaven in a bottle. At least that's my perspective. I'm like, wow, this is Gewürz. This is amazing. They're going to be fruity. They're going to be a little – you're going to get hints of residual sugar, but it's not going to be like – really overwhelmingly sweet. And then you're going to get that acidity along the jaw that tells you they haven't added any extra sugar, that it's totally straight, the acid that came off the vines. Again, Gewürztraminer is my favorite pairing. If I'm going to pair something, say spicy Thai food, I love spicy food. If you haven't figured that out yet, I'm surprised, because I love my spicy food. A pepper and cayenne and jalapenos and pepperoncini. I mean, if it's spicy, I'm going to be a fan. If I go out for spicy Thai food or spicy Vietnamese food, both of those tend to be – they really understand their spices, those two countries. I am going to order, if they have it on the menu, a bottle of Gewürztraminer, because you take all that spice, and you could add it with a spicy Shiraz from Australia, but, you know, that's going to be even too hot for my palate. What's going to happen is that the spice accentuates the other spice, and you end up with – just all spice, and you really need something kind of to complement, to cool down some of that heat. Because I'm ordering mine when it's got the little red peppers and the jalapenos along the side of the menu, where it goes up to like four. That's how I'm ordering my Thai food, with all four of them. I want it to be as spicy as it comes. So I don't want my wine to accentuate that anymore. I want my wine to complement, maybe even tame it a little bit. I also am usually ordering a fish or vegetarian style dish. And again, a Gewürztraminer is going to be awesome. I think in most of those style foods, I think that reds can sometimes get in your way, because they have so much going on, you lose the nuance of the food. I don't want to spend all my time on Gewürztraminer. I could, because it's obviously one of my favorites. Riesling. Here in the States, I think that Riesling is probably one of the more underappreciated grapes. When we talk about Germany in a few weeks, we're going to talk a lot about Riesling. They have all kinds of complex guidelines for governing their Riesling. But you know what? This portion of France does an amazing job. For the most part, And every one of them I've had so far has been very dry. They are not going to give you all that sugar. If you're used to drinking a sweet Riesling from Bonnie Doon or Pacific Rim or even Kung Fu Girl out of Washington, all of those are going to be on the sweet side. The Rieslings from Alsace, it's going to say Riesling on it, and you think, all right, I got some sweetness here. And then you may or may not be disappointed. You may be a little surprised, though. You're definitely going to be surprised if you're thinking it's going to be sweet, because it is going to be dry. And that basically means it's going to have that acidity and not a lot of residual sugar. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to go well with almost anything you eat here in Phoenix in the summer. Fruits, vegetables, salads, seafood, grilled chicken, all of these things go amazing with Riesling. Pinot Blanc. This is a grape I have only come to love in about the last 2 years. Prior to that, I thought it was insipid and boring. In my opinion, the worst two criticisms you can give to a bottle of wine or a grape is that it's insipid or boring. There's so many to choose from out there. The last thing I want is one that's going to be boring and not wow me. I have had in the last 2 years, I have had maybe 3 years, I have had several bottles of Pinot Blanc that just have wowed me. It's a different grape. It is related to the Pinot Gris grape, which is Pinot Gray, G-R-A-Y, like the color. That's why it's called Pinot Gris. And that grape is more, we're going to talk about that grape when we talk more about Italy. It is grown here in Alsace. They do have Pinot Gris. You can find it available. Trimbach makes a fantastic, Pinot Gris from Alsace. Again, $20. Most of these wines are going to run between $15 and $20, $25. From the Alsace area. There may be ones that are less expensive. The ones I'm familiar with tend to be in that $15 to $20 price range. And there are definitely many, and I'm familiar with some of those too, that are, you know, off the deep end expensive. They're going to be single vineyard. They're going to be things that have a very special, sometimes they have age on them. So they're going to have that aspect going on. Sometimes they're made sweet. So it's a Riesling that's specifically hung on the vine very, very long and made very sweet. And those can come out of France, but they'll have certain designates on the bottle that will tell you that. But they're also not going to be $20. They're going to be more like $40 or $50. And again, some amazing wines, but you know, when you're first starting out and first figuring it out, I think there's no reason not to experiment in $15 to $20 price range or less expensive if you can find one you love. Pinot Blanc is going to be, all right. So for me, Pinot Gris, let's back up. For me, Pinot Gris comes across on the palate as very bitter on the back palate in a way that I don't like. And I like my coffee very, very dark and very, very black. And I do French press every morning. So I'm not shy when it comes to bitter. I don't add a lot. I don't add sugar to anything. And I add a little cream to my coffee or my tea, but I also like it black. So not afraid of the bitter. But when I drink Pinot Gris, I get this thing going on in the back of my palate right around where like you get ready to swallow, way back in the back of the mouth. And it's just this really bitter, kind of tastes like I'm eating that white part on the grapefruit, you know, the part you try to peel off because it's really bitter. And I like grapefruit, but it's really, really bitter there, that pithy part. I don't like that in a wine. Personal opinion, I've had a few Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigios that haven't come across that with that extreme bitterness for me. But, you know, we all have one that isn't our favorite. And there are a lot of people out there that like Pinot Gris. So obviously I'm tasting something that they don't taste or that they like. Pinot Blanc doesn't give me that. Comes across with a lot of the similar fruits. It's not as overwhelmingly citrus. So it's kind of more like apple, pear, peach for my aromatics, less orange, lime, and lemon. Where I get that from Pinot Gris, I don't get that much of that citrusy from Pinot Blanc. I also get a little more smoothness across my palate, and I definitely don't get that bitterness on the back palate. Plenty of acidity along the jaw. Remember we talked about along the jaw being where you get that with dill pickles and or cucumbers and onions and vinegar, right? All of those kinds of things. That's the same spot where you'll get the acidity for these wines that we're talking about from Alsace. So Pinot Blanc, another great one. Moscato is also grown in this region. I think it's called Moscato. We can't get any or we haven't had any good ones in here in Phoenix for a while. I've tried before to get them and they just weren't available in current vintage. So I'm not positive. I'm guessing they're going to be fruity and probably have some good residual sugar as a Moscato should have. Before we're out of time today, I want to make sure we talk about some other regions worth experimenting with. Bandol, B-A-N-D-O-L. amazing rosé. It's going to break your bank. It's $40 a bottle. So if you're not way into rosé, this is not the place to start experimenting. Find a less expensive one. But Bandol also does a red and a rosé that comes into the Phoenix market. And Tempier, T-E-M-P-I-E-R, is the primary one I can get now here in Phoenix. If you're living in New York and listening, you know what? Fantastic. You might have some other options. Bandol, right as I was leaving, somebody was telling me, and I had forgotten this was going on or maybe not realized it, you want to try these fairly soon. They're going to set you back $50-$60 because they are not inexpensive. The rosé is $40, so the red's going to be $50-$60. But the wine's going to be amazing. But they are tearing up the vineyards in that particular area to build housing. So those are wines that in, you know, say 10 years in the future may not even be available anymore. So we definitely want to make sure you get those. If you're that interested in France, don't miss the Bandols. Tavel is a region of Rhône that we mentioned earlier. They're known for their rosés. Languedoc-Roussillon is another region. You're going to get great bang for your buck there. So there's all kinds of different wines to try. We've just scratched the surface of France. And next week we're going to do Champagne. We're going to do Champagne and all things that sparkle, including some of the sweet stuff. So if you have a question, I covered something, you want more answers, please feel free to email us at aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com, and we'll be happy to answer it on the air. Until then, we'll talk to you next week with Champagne and all things that sparkle, and enjoy some French wine.
Thanks again for tuning in. Around the World in a Glass is heard every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Please join Kimber Stonehouse from Sportsman's Fine Wines and Spirits next week for another glass.